If I told you that tomorrow, if you were to get into an automobile, anybody in this room were to get into an automobile, if tomorrow you were to get into one, and I could foretell the future, and I would tell you that you will be in an accident, you will be in a terrible accident, you will survive the accident, but you will be crippled the rest of your life. If I could foretell the future, and I can't, but if I could and I told you that, I doubt anybody in here would get in an automobile tomorrow. You'd probably wait. You'd probably stay home from work or whatever you may do, go shopping on Mondays, I'm not sure. But you wouldn't get in an automobile if you trusted me. If I would tell you, you would just be crippled the rest of your life. Several generations now have been crippled by what I'm going to teach on tonight. The cream of the crop, our teenagers that are in our churches, our brightest, our confident, our good character teenagers, our knowledgeable, sharp, well-mannered, ones that we have big hopes for. When they graduate, when they get out, we're hoping that they do something for the Lord. And it seems that nowadays, it's just getting less and less. The ones who should be in full-time service have no desire to be in full-time service. I'll tell you why tonight, why there might be one reason. And I think I'm almost qualified to teach on this tonight because I grew up in this situation. We've been left with a few to build and lead, and most times struggle through a ministry that should be run by those teenagers who have grown up but aren't running ministries today. And we're left with the ones who struggle in church, who pastor churches, who probably, in some cases, shouldn't even be pastoring. But because somebody who was sharp, well-mannered, maintained themselves, have no desire to get into full-time service. And so there's one reason for this tonight, and the message I bring tonight has urgent written all over it. That's the message. It's just got urgent. And so that's what I'm going to preach on tonight. You still don't know what I'm preaching on, but let me just tell you some groundwork with my testimony. When I was growing up, my parents took us to a Baptist church, a fundamental independent Baptist church, but they did not care. They never disciplined me if they were to hear songs that I was playing. It never bothered them. It was whatever I wanted to listen to, I could listen to. And I was too spiritual to get into rock music, although my brother dabbled back and forth with rock music and other things. I wasn't dumb enough to get into country music. But I grew up listening to contemporary Christian music. That was just what I had enjoyed. I would many times get home from school. I'd run home and call up the radio station and request a song that I had heard that I liked. And from 3 o'clock till 6 o'clock each evening, they would let you call in and give a request. And I would request a song, and they would say, this song is for so-and-so. And I was hoping people at my church wouldn't think that Stephen was me. But they would say, this song was requested by so-and-so, and this is who's singing it, and this is what it's about. And they would play that song, and we didn't have a tape recorder that I could just record right off the radio. So I took a radio, and then I got a cheap recorder, and I put it up against the radio. And I would record my music, my favorite type of music. I even went to concerts. And shame to say, the church that I grew up in took us and encouraged us to go to these concerts, to get around these people who were singing these songs for the Lord. That's what they said. I even went to the Christian bookstore when I would hear that the CCM, the Contemporary Christian Music Artist, would be at the Christian bookstore. my sister and I would get in our car and drive down there, and we'd get their autograph. We'd get around them. I stopped doing that after one time one of the agents to one of the contemporaries, I wouldn't even tell you his name, but one of the agents just threw me off. He threw me for a loop. He seemed like he was had to be a homosexual. And so I thought, you know, I don't know if I want to go anymore. If my hero, the guy whose songs I record, if he's hanging around, it just threw up all kinds of flags of who he was hanging around. And so tonight, I want to bring a message called Music Matters. Music Matters. Or Music Matters. I'm not sure how you want to say it. Some call it contemporary Christian music. Some of it's even so bad that now they're calling it adult contemporary Christian music. I'll bring up an artist tonight. Christian rock is another name for it. And what most people know it as, praise and worship. Praise and worship. I want to tell you tonight that someone's after your worship. Satan is after worship. He does not want to be worshipped as Satan. He wants to be worshipped as God. That's what Satan's after. He doesn't want you to call him Satan. He doesn't want you to reveal who he is. He wants to be worshipped as God. And so we have praise and worship. I think that's just a really good way of saying it. Because we're worshiping somebody. There's somebody we're worshiping when we sing and listen to contemporary Christian music, praise and worship, Christian rock, pop, whatever you want to call it. Let's lay a foundation tonight before I get too carried away. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel chapter 28, we'll just start at verse number 12, and let's pray before we get too carried away. Let's get the Lord into the sermon tonight. Lord, I just come to you now, and God, as I preach tonight on this thing that is destroying this generation, has destroyed many, has destroyed the up-and-coming ones, the young people from the age of zero on up, is destroying them and getting them out of full-time Christian service. God, I just pray that you'd be with me tonight. Help us, Lord, as we look at Scripture in Jesus' name. Amen. Ezekiel 28, verse number 12 says this, "Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty." There's somebody being talked about here. There's something that's been created that is the sum total of God's creative ability. Thou sealest up the sum. Whatever God's creative ability is, that's what Lucifer was. The sum total, the creative ability of our God, the one that created this world, created a being named Lucifer, the son of the morning. Ezekiel 28, verse 13 says, "Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, and the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold, the workmanship of thy tablets, and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created." He created this being. His covering was all these precious stones. If you were to see a picture of Satan, you wouldn't recognize him as a human being. He would be pictured as one who is covered in diamonds and sardis and topaz and onyx and beryl and all this. And then besides that, it says the workmanship of thy tabrets. He had small drums somewhere in his body, and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. He was a musical instrument. That was the purpose of Lucifer, is a musical instrument. God surrounded himself with music. Verse 14 says, "Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth." He was surround sound. God surrounded himself. He knew what he was doing. Sony can't even come close. But God surrounded himself with music. And it was the right kind of music. It was surround sound. It was good quality. I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity. Now, iniquity is not sin. Iniquity is the thought of sin was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub. He wanted to make sure. He wanted to make sure he knew Satan was surround sound. He said, I know who you are. I created you. I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Now look at this. This is mind-boggling. Thine heart was lifted up. Satan has a heart. He was just like us. Satan had a heart. You know what? Sin starts somewhere, and it starts in the heart. If somebody can just get your heart, fathers, if you can get the heart of your young one, they'll think you're the greatest. They'll follow you to the end of the world if you can just get their heart. Whoever gets your heart is who you're going to follow. Satan has a heart, and he's after yours. Does music matter? It's a good question. Does music matter? Does it? I don't know. I this thought promotes an anything-goes mentality. If you go to mom and dad and say, it doesn't matter what I listen to, then you're just saying anything goes, mom and dad. Some people's opinion is this. God created and likes all kinds of music. God created it. He likes all kinds of it. I think music is a hot button tonight. As soon as I brought up music, and I was in full-time Christian service for 3 years, and that was my job, was music. And so I was able to stay up on it. And it seems like just the mention of it. You go up to a teenager and say, what kind of music do you listen to? Oh, they'll skirt that. They'll do everything they... Oh, you know the stuff that we sell out front in the front there. But yeah, I listen to that. That's pretty good stuff. But then they go home, and because they have access to a radio, they flip on their music. It's not... And to them, it's not bad because it says Christian, family-friendly. Just the mention can cause a spirit of defensiveness or carnality in a wide variety of unfavorable emotional responses. Mom and dad, you got a teenager that's struggling with music? Just the second you say, what is that? They have a defensiveness about them because it's a carnality. It's a wide variety of unfavorable emotional responses. I want to encourage you tonight, young person, children, from zero on up. Right now, VeggieTales, parents, is training your kid to be a contemporary Christian worship listener, a praise and worship person. That's what VeggieTales is all about. And you say, I don't know who VeggieTales is good. Just stay away from it. VeggieTales is designed, intricately, it's just designed to get those from the age of one till they can start comprehending anything to learn that music and to carry it on through the rest of their life. Any age today is faced with contemporary Christian music. Any age. I don't care what age you are. It's there. It's available. Proverbs 13:10 says, only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. I'm just going to advise you tonight. I'm not here to stir up strife, teenager. I'm not here to step on your toes. I don't know, really, the most of your lives. I've only been here for a short time. But let's set our pride aside and seek tonight to be well advised. Just put your pride aside. You know, pride is just simply called sin. It's just sin. So put your sin aside and listen tonight to be well advised. I want to inform you of the amazing power and influence that this form of communication has upon your life. The way you respond as a result of this message is between you and God. Don't get mad at me. I like you. I think I like most of you. I love you all. God says you're supposed to love everybody, but you don't necessarily have to like them. But I like you. It's probably because I don't know too many of you yet, but I do. I like you. And that's why I'm going to give you this message tonight. So don't get mad at me about it if I hit your group. The latest groups of today, let me just read off a few. Barlow Girl, coming out of Chicago. Down Here, Pocket Full of Rocks. Oh, flip on Family Friendly Radio and listen to Pocket Full of Rocks. I think it's more of a head full of rocks. Delirious, Mercy Me, Casting Crowns, Rush of Fools, Third Day, Big Daddy Weave, Natalie Grant, who, if you've heard any of her music, just go to a church that's about 45 minutes north of here and you can listen to it, and it says Baptist on the front door. Right on the front door, right in the front lawn. Independent Baptist Church. You like Natalie Grant? Go there. Because they'll sing it for you. Nicole Nordeman, FFH, Switchfoot, Sanctus Real, Chris Tomlin, Bethany Dillon, The David Crowder Band, Building 429, By the Tree. By the Tree? What are you doing by the tree? I used to go hunt. I knew what I did by the tree, but, you know. Why name your group that? Well, Brother Kranz, it's about the cross. It's about Jesus. That's why our group is called. I don't care. Don't call your group By the Tree. And then you have the groups of the past. Stephen Curtis Chapman, Petra, DC Talk, Disciples of Christ. Both of those groups my brother hid underneath his pillow. For Him. Then you have groups of the ancient. Fatty Patty, Steve Cream, Amy Grunt, and Twilight Paris. They're from way beyond. That's when this all first started. You say, these are good groups with good songs. They've helped me spiritually. I'm struggling right now. I need their help. My Christian life is doing good now that I listen to it. I need something than just church music. I'm not embarrassed to say that this is what I listen to when I'm around my friends. It's on the radio. This music is more meaningful to me. I don't see anything wrong with it. God has given this music to me to help me stay close to Him. Worship, praise and worship. Who are you worshiping? Somebody wants your worship, and he doesn't want to be called Satan. I can access it more easily. It's on the radio. I just feel better when it's on. All these things are excuses I've used when listening to this music. It's just accessed easily. Tell that to my brother, who hid these type songs underneath his pillow. I brought it to the attention of my parents. Nothing happened. Tell that to the thousands of young people who are no longer virgin. Because of it. Girls, listen to me. The lyrics of these songs, and I'll give a few lyrics, I'll let you listen to them. They don't promote anything good. They don't promote anything good. Tell that to those who will never know God's true will for their life because of this music. If you're pumping your skull full of this kind of music, I guarantee you, you will never know God's true will for your life. You may feel like you're staying close to the Lord. You may feel like there's something about it that helps you and gives you strength. But Satan, I may say, can give you strength. He has a wonderful way of doing it. Tell my brother, who one night has this music took him into even worse things. And one night at midnight, he was out in his car with his head on the horn at midnight, made it home, thank the Lord. And as he was out in our, right outside of our trailer that we were renting, my parents ran out there at midnight, heard the horn beeping, and there he was. They had to drag him out of his car on acid, fried his brain. As he stood there, and they brought him in, stuck him on their bed, as he laid there, as my sister, my two sisters and I looked at him, and they said, what's wrong with him? And they said, I don't know. As he laid there and his head going back and forth, I don't want to die. I don't want to die. I don't want. This is the kind of music that it all started with. He didn't get right with God with this kind of music. He thought he was staying close to the Lord with this kind of music. DC Talk, who sings about being a Jesus freak. And so it started with that. It just got worse and worse. And then right after that, after his 72 hours of evaluation, he dedicated himself to the Lord and said he wanted to preach the gospel after just a few weeks of being out of the insane house. And as he went there, everybody in church clapped for him, saying that he wanted to be a preacher. And I thought to myself, I hope that's true. It's not true today. Divorced after 5 months, this music doesn't get you anywhere. I want to read something for you. This is by Nicole Nordeman. Nicole Nordeman. She's 2-time Dove Award winning female vocalist of the year. And this song was on top of the charts for several weeks. Nicole Nordeman, this song is called Brave. The gate is wide, the road is paved in moderation. The crowd is quick and kind to pull you in. Welcome to the middle ground. You're safe and sound, and until now, it's where I've been. Because it's been fear that ties me down to everything, but it's been love, your love, that cuts the strings. So long, status quo, I think I'll just let go. You make me want to be brave. The way it always was is no longer good enough. You make me want to be brave. 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 I am small, and I speak when I'm spoken to, but I'm willing to risk it all. I say your name, just your name, and I'm ready to jump, even ready to fall. No mention of God. She's not singing to God in these lyrics. Why did I take this vow of compromise? Why did I try to keep it all inside? So long, status quo, I think I'll just let go. You make me want to be brave. The way it always was is no longer good enough. You make me want to be brave. I've never known a fire that didn't begin with a flame. Every storm will start with just a drop of rain. But if you believe in me, that changes everything. So long, I'm gone. So long, status quo, I think I'll just let go. You make me want to be brave. I want to be brave. Now, I didn't think about the Lord in that at all. But if I was a teenage girl, I mean, I was a teenage boy at one time, and I know if when I listen to this, I don't think about serving the Lord. Top of the charts, folks, of Christian music. Oh, and might I say that she's not under the contemporary. She's under adult contemporary Christian music. They now have to specify. She's under adult Christian music. Listen to this one. Lyrics from 1992, Jeff Moore. Jeff Moore in the Distance. He just came back after a long time. I don't know what he was doing, but now you can find him again on the radio. Here's a song that he wrote, A Friend Like You. The Lone Ranger and Tonto, Laurel and Hardy. Batman and Robin, it was Snoopy and Charlie. Friends through the thick and thin, friends to the very end. I think you would agree, that's how it is for you and me. I want you to know I need you. I want you to know it's true. There's no way I'd make it without you. It's so good to know I've got a friend like you. I tell you it's black, but you see it white. You say go left, but I know it's right. No matter where we go, be it through the highs or lows, I will be by your side, because you and I are friends for life. And here's the bridge. Through all the laughter and tears, through all the questions and fears, through all the winning and losing and trying, I will be by your side, because you and I are friends for life. Sing that song just after you messed up with a girl. It's not too hard. Makes you feel pretty good. You say, well, hey, that's not about that. It's about the Lord. Hey, we can be. I want you to know, Lord, I need you. I want you to know it's true. Well, then how come it says, I tell you it's black, but you see it white? I say go left, but I know it's right. Hey, it just spoke a bunch of rebellion right there. Rebellion towards God. So don't tell me that this music was written towards God. It wasn't. I don't think the Lord had 1 ounce of concern when he wrote this song. Let me read you another one real quick. David Meese, back in 1993, I used to request this song. I still feel the pain, the darkness of yesterday, the clouds that held no rain. Illusions remain and memories mock the truth, but God can break these chains. This day comes but once, I live or I lose. Remember, no matter where we've been, no matter what we've done, today can be our once in a lifetime. For yesterday is gone, tomorrow may not come. This moment is our once in a lifetime. In spite of the tears, the chill of winter's light, the sorrow of the night, which is a phrase from Phantom of the Opera, written by probably one of the biggest faming homos. My cold, lonely past is melting away from me, as by God's grace I see. This moment is mine, my moment of truth, forever, no matter where we've been, no matter what we've done, today can be our once in a lifetime. For yesterday is gone, tomorrow may not come, this moment is our once in a lifetime. You know, if I was out on a date with a girl, I'd want this music to be played. It would be great music for a date. David Crowder, this guy. I didn't even bring pictures of these people. But David Crowder has a really large goatee, hangs down about here, just real large, and the rest of his face is shaven. Then his head is spiked hair, and at his concerts, they say, he sprays it different colors and as those spikes stick out. He's the pastor of music and arts in Waco, Texas. They all call it Waco, Texas. Man, all kinds of junk came from down there. He's a corporate worship leader. And so they went and they interviewed him. And I just took this one. I just want to get some advice from David Crowder. Hey, what do you think, David Crowder? How should we worship? How should we worship in our church? Says this. What advice would you give to worship leaders who want to improve their abilities in leading worship? Listen to this. This is what he said. I can't believe it. I'd encourage people to take risks. God is a God of creativity. We need to take risks and not worry about falling on our face because it's not that big a deal. We need to get back up and try something else. Just risk it and go for it. We have a creative God. You know what? I think my Bible says we have a jealous God. God is jealous of our praise and we are corrupting it with wrong music. And you don't think about God when you listen to this kind of music. I don't care if it says God or not. You're worshiping somebody else. Here's a group you can hear on Christian radio today. Family-friendly radio. That's what it says. The group's name is Switchfoot. Switchfoot. I do have a picture of them. It just makes me mad, so I kept the picture. Here's Switchfoot. This is this group that you can listen to that may be in your house. On March 2nd, 2003, a crowd of fans shoved themselves into a compact, run-down bar on the streets of Philadelphia to gaze upon the rock wonders of a calibrated quartet called Switchfoot. The shaggy, blonde-haired frontman, John Foreman, donated some moments of his time for a follow-up interview for the release of their latest project, The Beautiful Letdown, before dashing off to meet his bandmates for some traditional Philly cheesesteaks. The Beautiful Letdown. They named it that. Who wants to be let down and who thinks it's beautiful? Okay. There's a group called Sanctus Real. Sanctus Real. And this is how this group got started, right here. JesusFreakHideout.com is the people that interviewed these people. Jesus Freak Hideout. So John from Jesus Freak Hideout interviewed and says, awesome, it's cool, you're touring with Third Day this spring. What's it been like to tour with artists like Stephen Curtis Chapman last fall? Audio Adrenaline, Third Day, bands you probably grew up listening to before forming Sanctus Real. Here's Matt from Sanctus Real. Yeah, totally, dude. It's a pretty big deal for us. We try to get outside of the stage as much as possible and remember what it was like before we were on tour with these guys, you know? Before we were putting away records. Just yesterday, I was helping my parents move some furniture at their house, and in my old bedroom, there's a poster from a long time ago. It was the first Delirious record. It was signed by the guys. I thought it was their first U.S. tour. And in May, we're co-headlining a festival with Delirious in England. I think there were some other people back in the 60s that came over from England and have destroyed this country with their corrupt kind of music. So Delirious, stay in England. And when I saw the poster, I thought to myself, man, when I bought that poster and I was that kid on the front row at Delirious concert on their first U.S. tour while I was in high school or whatever, I never thought that I would be doing something like that today. And same to be on tour with Audio Adrenaline, especially. Those guys were a huge influence. Their first tape was my first tape that I ever owned. The first tape that he ever owned, the guy from Sanctus Real, one of the most corrupt rock stinking music you ever listen to, and you listen to it on the radio because they promote this, started listening. His first tape was from Audio Adrenaline. I couldn't even read some of their lyrics because some of you would probably have to cover your kids' ears before you walked out. That was his first tape. We need to understand the moral significance of music. If I went over to that piano right now and just played a note on that piano, tell me, would that note, if I just played one, would that note be righteous or would it be evil? Would it carry any moral value? No. It's just one note. Now, random notes are no different than random colors, random threads, or random letters. They carry no message by themselves, but they are tools of communication. Now, the color red, is it good or bad? The color red. Is it bad? Well, it just depends on how it's applied. If you put the color red on a painter's palette and he uses it to paint a vulgar picture, then the color red is bad. The letter E, is it good or bad? If you put it on some pages and you use the letter E to write wrong novels or wrong magazines, then the letter E is bad. It's just however it's used, however it's written. In the hands of the craftsman is the message revealed. The hands of the craftsman, the message will be revealed. Now, how do we know if music is good or bad? Just as art can be vulgar, clothing provocative, and words corrupt, even so music can communicate and facilitate messages that are wrong and harmful. Now, you say, well, we haven't really used much of the scripture tonight, Brother Krantz. I'm really waiting for this. I think I might carry this message over till next week. And I'm not done, so just sit tight. Does the Bible teach this, or is it common sense? Glad you asked. It's both. The Bible teaches about it, and it's common sense. Let's run over to Ephesians 5:19. I won't be too much longer. Ephesians 5:19 says this, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now, I just want to use those first three words, speaking to yourselves. Right there, it's personal. Speaking to yourselves. So, it comes out with music, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. So that must mean that music is personal. Speaking to yourselves. So music is personal. Don't get your junk music around me because I will take it personally. And so should you. And by the way, you are taking it personally if you don't see anything wrong with it. It's personal music. Psalm 101. What's Psalm have to say about this? Let's look. Psalm 101. Psalm 101:1. Psalm 101, verse 1. says this, I will sing of mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. You are to sing and listen to what God likes, not what you like. Well, where'd you get that? Right here. I will sing of mercy and judgment unto thee. We are to sing and listen to what God wants. That's just the bottom line. Not what you like. You. Not what you like. Yes, it may be appealing to the flesh. Yes, it might. Now, I don't care if people get up on stage and wave their whole bodies around when they sing. It's no different than just sitting here like this while you sing. You're still moving while you're singing it. Oh, they don't move too much. Brother Reiser was up here and he said something about elbow worship or something. His contemporary worshiping with your elbow. I don't know. He's going to show me something about that later. But just ask yourself this question. Is what I'm listening to, will it be sung and played in heaven? Is the Lord going to have Sanctus Real and DC Talk and Nicole Nordeman, as soon as we get to heaven, go ahead and just rip their music out? Oh, it was great music. It was a hit on earth, so let's have it be a hit in heaven. I think they're going to be a music class for hundreds and thousands of years to learn what the appropriate kind of music should have been. And then I think they'll be teaching all the people whose lives they destroyed with their junk for those thousands of years. If they get to heaven, because they are worshiping somebody and they may not know who they're worshiping. Psalm 101:1 again. Music is directed from you to God, not you to man. Music is directed, I will sing of mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. Music is directed from you to the Lord. You're not supposed to get up in concert and direct it to everybody else. That's not scripture. We're supposed to be directing it towards the Lord. David Crowder, with the David Crowder Band, down in Waco, Texas, said the shelf life of a hit CD now, right now, is only 6 months. So music writing is priority. He said you just got to keep writing music. Now, these people who are just putting out all this music to keep making money and keep their fame going, I think somewhere along their line, they don't care what God wants to do with their life. So their music just gets worse and worse. Steve Green at one time sang some pretty decent songs in the beginning. Songs that most people wouldn't have any problem with listening to. And I know some of his songs are sung in even our Baptist churches. The same, not written by Steve Green, but songs that he had sung and produced on albums. And if you look at him today, he's a different kind of person. Why? Because it's all about something other than God. It's about making money. Keep the money coming. Hey, tell it to Fanny Crosby, who wrote over 4,000 songs. Hey, Mrs. Crosby, or Miss Crosby, why did you write it? Oh, it was about the money. I don't think so. Blind, but yet talented, and she used it for the Lord. You know, the very first thing that David got right was his music in the Bible. David got right with the very first thing was his music. He was able to help Saul in 1 Samuel 16 with significant spiritual struggles. Saul struggled spiritually, significantly, and David was able to help him because David's music was right with the Lord. He didn't get out his drums. He didn't change his clothes and put on something that was more appealing to the teenage crowd of today to help Saul. He didn't get a band of guys to sing up and be his backup singers to help him out and to promote him. He refreshed Saul and made him well. In verse 23 of 1 Samuel 16, it says, it made him well and the evil spirit departed from him. How did Saul get healed? From good music. It refreshed him. It was refreshing. Music changed this country. It has more influence over you than God. Music changed this country. It has more influence over you than anything else. Music even has more influence over you than God has influence. So be careful what you're listening to. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for tonight and just an opportunity to get up and just set the groundwork of what I hope can come of next week's sermon, where we learn more about how to apply this, God, to our life. I wasn't very long, but I was straight to the point. There's something wrong. There's something wrong with this music, and I want to find out what it is. I pray, God, that people would come back next week and figure out what the right kind of music is. I just pray, God, that if someone's here tonight struggling with just giving up this type of music, and it will be a struggle, I pray, Lord, that you will help them through it. In Jesus' name.